All of you this morning. If you've been with us, you know we've just wrapped up a big October Missions Month, and I hope you guys have thoroughly enjoyed that, having speakers from all different backgrounds and contexts to speak to us about how God is using them in different areas and teaching us ultimately how to love God and love people. Now, first week, just a way of reminder, we had Minister Joaquin from Home of Christ 3 in Fremont, Iraq and Afghanistan war veteran, who shared with us those moments of courage on the battlefield, not knowing what would happen to his life, but believing that God still had a mission for him on that battlefield, turning those near-death moments into opportunities to share the love of Jesus. And hence, he was starting Bible studies and prayer meetings in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, we also had Anne, a lady who was born and bred here in the Bay, who grew up here at Home of Christ Church. But then later on in life, she took on God's call to go wherever God has called her. And because of her obedience and her dependence on the Spirit, she saw God supply all her needs. And now her and her young family are going to South Korea to plant a church. So if any of you are interested in supporting and championing her and her family, please let me know, because they're looking for supporters and they're looking for people who would financially bless them to go. Then the third week, we have Boba Bless. Now, I know for some of the youth, that was their favorite because they had free boba, but that was wonderful to see. But all in all, we saw God and how he uses Paul and his team, not only through Boba Bless the shop, but their willingness to use their profits to go into Taiwan and Mexico, to orphanages, to helping those who have been hurt and who are vulnerable in our society. And it's encouraging. Though it was hard at times to hear those stories, I was sitting at the front and many tears coming down, just hearing those stories of brokenness, but they believed in the mission. They kept on loving Jesus. And so I'm grateful that many of you, and I'm encouraged that many of you have responded to translate materials, to go to Taiwan next year for mission trips, to go feed the homeless. It's encouraging as the pastor of this church to hear this type of response and the follow-up afterwards. Now, last week we had former minister Alex Sun, you know, just seeing how God led him from bivocational ministry to now being part of America's largest church in Oklahoma, working for the Bible app and seeing God's word just go forth. And it was encouraging us that missions is a lifestyle. It's not just a once-off event. Now, after all that, it's the first week of November. As I say, the dust has settled. The dust has settled. What's next for us as a church? Well, I've been praying and thinking about this, and as you know, our church theme is shaped for service, but the Lord has pressed into my heart the topic surrounding revival, because I believe what the Lord is doing is reviving what was once lost. You see, reviving and restoring to the church what was once lost in the past. Church, God's people gathered all throughout the generations have seen mighty works of God because they trusted and depended on God and took that step forward in faith. And the result? Well, throughout the generations and throughout Christian history, we've seen God mighty at work in churches, in marriages, in relationships, in the workplace. And that's what I believe God is calling us to today. And so continuing on for Missions Month, I actually prepared this message in advance before October, thinking, what is God wanting me to talk to the congregation about? Well, today I want to talk to you guys about a revival of courage, a revival of courage. You see, in today's cultural tide in the Bay Area, we need Christians who are willing to take that step forth and speak the name of Jesus in their context. Christians who are not willing to hide in their bubble or their small group or their little networks, but Christians who are called to be salt and light in a broken and hurting world. And for many of us today, that's right here in our own backyard. You see, courage isn't just for that mission trip. Courage isn't for those big moments. Courage is for the everyday moments right where we live, in our schools, in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. That's why I'm calling for all of us to yearn for this revival of courage. Courage like the old days where God's people weren't afraid to do what God has commanded them to do. So today I have an important message for us, and it's titled Courage in Our Own Backyard. Courage in Our Own Backyard. Back here, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we know that we are so weak, we are so with limits. And Lord, after hearing all these messages on missions, Some of us may be confused. We don't know what to do. Some of us may be passionate now. But Lord, we know that you are calling us to go. But Lord, before you call us to go, help us to have the courage to speak the name of Jesus right here in our own backyard first. And so, Lord, I'm just praying today for a mighty encounter with the living Christ, that as we hear this message, our hearts will be stirred, our minds will be renewed, and that, Lord, all of us will have the courage to step forth into our identity and purpose. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I recall a story when I was in high school. I was around 17. I was going through this phase where I started working out. I thought I was really tough. I thought I was invincible. I was confident. I was young. I was a bit reckless as well in driving, in my actions, and often in my thoughts. So I often flexed to my dad and told him, "Dad, I can do anything that I want. I'm a man now." And so my dad, being my dad, he gave that opportunity to put my words to the test. And so one Sunday afternoon, he called me downstairs from my room and said, "Ben, I have a special task for you. Let's see if you're up for it." So I said, "What? I can do anything." So climb the ladder up to our second story, a gutter, and remove a bird's nest that's been causing a lot of noise for your mom and dad in the early mornings. Now, this wasn't an empty bird's nest. It wasn't just a pile of random sticks. It was a bird's nest that was filled with three baby birds, very tiny, wrinkly, and honestly kind of ugly, with big eyes. And so on top of that, their mother bird wasn't around. So my dad went there first to take a look, and instead of taking it down himself, he went down the ladder and he thought, "Ben needs to take care of this." Now, as soon as I stepped out into the backyard, fear hit me. Why? I saw the height of the ladder. I was terrified to reach out to those birds. I even put on double gloves. I still couldn't do it. And third of all, I thought, "Mama bird's not around. She could swoop anytime and take out an eyeball." So I said to my dad, "I'm not doing this. No matter what you say, I'm not doing this. It's dangerous. It's got nothing to do with being courageous. It's got nothing to do with working out or anything like that." And my dad's just taunting me for the next 15 minutes. "You're a chicken. You're a chicken. You're a chicken. I thought you were a man. And I was like, "No, Dad, this ladder is unstable. Look, the birds, they're not even destroying your gutter. They're just making a little bit of noise. Just leave them alone." Now, meanwhile, as me and my dad were going back and forth and arguing, my younger sister, who was 3 years younger than me, got tired of all the fussing and waiting. She went up the ladder, picked up with her bare hands the bird's nest, and then placed it on top of a tree. She had the courage that I didn't have. Now, when I think back, I laugh. But I also remember what my dad said. He said, "Ben, before you do anything else in this world, learn to have courage in your own backyard." You see, that moment has stuck with me all these years. Because even to this day, whenever my dad and my mom and my sister and I, we walk past, go to a park, and they see a bird's nest, they always remind me of this story. And not only that, my dad's a pastor. Of course, he's going to use this analogy in every sermon, every fellowship. That's why I fled all the way here to the US. Everyone knows that I'm a scaredy cat. As I thought about this story and I was reflecting, I thought, just like me, on the foot of the ladder in high school, sometimes for us Christians, the simplest step of faith feels impossible. Fear stops us from taking that next step forward. Maybe that's reaching out to a friend in need. Maybe that's mentioning to a coworker that we go to church on a Sunday. Maybe it's starting a conversation about Jesus at the cafe or the park. Today, I believe we need a revival of courage, a movement of believers who are willing to obey and trust God. You see, the problem is this. We often see courage associated with heroes of our lifetime. Martin Luther King, he was courageous. Human rights activists, they were courageous. Soldiers on the battlefield, Navy SEALs. Courage isn't just for the extraordinary. It's not a personality trait that we can muster up. Or courage isn't for the outgoing or for the fearless. We don't have to feel courageous to be courageous. Courage is for all of us as God's children. Courage is simply choosing over every area of our lives, faith in God over our fears. So today I want to encourage you as a church to look at courage in three ways. A courage in our circumstances, courage in our conversations, and courage in continuing on. courage in our circumstances, courage in our conversations, and courage in continuing on. So first I want to look at a young shepherd boy by the name of David. He had courage in the pasture. In 1 Samuel 17, we see that David had courage in his present circumstances. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 36. The context here is that all Israel is about to face this giant Goliath. No one was willing to step up to the plate, but young shepherd boy David, he persisted. So we read from verses 34, but David persisted. He says, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, many of us, we grew up knowing the story of David. Maybe even if you haven't grown up at church, you know, because it's quite well known in circular culture too, about the underdog beating the big bad giant Goliath. So a lot of the focus is on how David slung a rock and hit Goliath right in the forehead, and all of Israel celebrated. But what many don't talk about is this. Even before David ever stepped onto the battlefield to face Goliath, the biggest and most scary giant of the Philistines, he learned courage in the pasture, right in his own backyard. While everyone else might have seen that as an unimportant job, just watching sheep, tending to the sheep, God was shaping his courageous heart right there in his circumstances. You see, when lions and bears came to attack the flock, David didn't run or hide. He stood his ground, not because the sheep were powerful or so valuable, but because David knew that was his responsibility, given to him by God. It's those hidden moments when no one was watching. He built a foundation of courage that would later carry him into public victory among the Philistines. You see, David didn't suddenly become courageous in the face of battle. His courage had been cultivated and tested and proven in the pasture in his everyday circumstances. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes as Christians, we're waiting for those big moments of courage. Step out in faith. A visible platform, a big mission trip. But courage doesn't start there on the stage. Courage starts in the small, unseen places of obedience. I used to think of courage as going to Myanmar, going to a poverty-stricken country, to an orphanage that is lacking in resources. That's great. Don't get me wrong. We need people in the Bay Area to share the love of Jesus, to go and provide financially and their time. That's great. But what if today, before those big moments of mission trips, before those grand moments on those platforms, what if God is calling us to show courage in our present circumstances first, in our own pastures, like young shepherd boy David, in our families, in our Monday to Friday workplaces, staying faithful in prayer, serving when no one's looking, in those conversations that we have with our friends and our family. That's where I believe God wants to cultivate in us courageous hearts. In the Bay, whenever I go and meet pastors, I always hear how their churches send them on mission trips 2 to 3 times a year. Our church doesn't have that system. But in other churches, they do. 2 to 3 times a year, the pastor gets sent out. The pastors always come back with crazy stories of how God used them in different culture and context, and how they saw mighty miracles break out. And I thought to myself, every time I hear these pastors, when I meet up with them one-on-one, I thought, wow, I can't wait to experience that as well. Imagine that. When can I witness God's mighty work in all these places of the world? So internally, I was debating about this. I was thinking, wow, God, when is the time that I get to go 2 to 3 mission trips a year and see God at work in poverty-stricken places? Now, many of you know I live very close to church. So close that you could throw a stone and hit my house. And in the mornings, I've decided to go on these early morning walks and around the neighborhood. And as I go on these walks, the Lord impressed something upon my heart. He said, Ben, this is your mission field. This is your mission field right here in your own backyard. Many people here don't know Jesus. But I was like debating internally with God, this is tough. Our church has tried for 40, all these years, we've never been able to reach our neighbors. It's too tough. People here in Menlo Park, they don't need God. They have everything at the tip of their fingers. But as I kept walking, God's like, these are your neighbors. These are the people surrounding your church home. These are the people that you need to reach out and bless. This is your mission field. And I kept this debate internally, but God, they already have everything that they need. I've already done my research. God, there's neighbors who are Christians who have actually told our church pastors, there is nothing the church can do for this neighborhood. So I was like, God, there's nothing that I can do. I'd rather go out there. People see a need for Jesus. That's even better, right? But God kept pressing. These are your neighbors. This is your mission field right here in your own backyard. So I thought, okay, fine. If God's going to keep pressing this into my heart as I do these morning walks, we as a family, we stepped out in obedience and we started thinking and trying different means, from opening up our garage door so that we can have conversations with people as they walk on by. We tried it all. Waking up early, walking down the street, meeting other folks. And what we've seen is that God is an amazing God. When we as a family stepped out in obedience in our current circumstances, the Lord started putting people in our lives. And throughout the year, we've had countless of conversations with neighbors. We've had opportunities to pray over our neighbors out in the public streets, or over their sickness. We've been invited into homes. We've been inviting people into our homes. We've been having weekly morning coffees with neighbors. We've had the opportunity to share about the hope in Jesus. And I see what God is doing in my life. He's teaching me, Ben, before those big moments of missions, before ever going out, you have neighbors who are hurting. You have neighbors who are in broken relationships. You have neighbors who are divorced. You have neighbors who are terminally ill, who are lonely. Continue pressing into those relationships. And you see, what God has been teaching my own heart is that courage begins in the ordinary. Courage begins in our current circumstances. Because the courage that we build up in the pasture, just like David, in the pasture tending his flock, will one day prepare us for something that God calls us to. The problem is today, many of us, we want to make a name for ourselves, don't we? We're in the Bay Area. We don't want to be ordinary. We don't want to be just okay. And I was thinking about it, that's true. Today I was reading 1 Samuel and I'm thinking, if I was David, I would probably want to skip the whole pasturing the flock and the sheep, stuff that. I want to go immediately to boss level. You know, when you play games, like, I don't want to just fight the lowly warriors. I want to just go straight into battle. That's what I believe God has called me to do, fight Goliath. But what if God is calling us to be faithful and to learn in the pasture? To learn, it's okay being ordinary. It's okay just being in our present circumstances, loving our spouse, loving our siblings, loving our next door neighbors. Until we can get all those things right in our present circumstances, then I believe God will call us to do the next thing. Today, we also need a courage to speak the name of Jesus. This is the second point. We look at Peter and John in Acts 4, the courage to speak the name of Jesus, which is my second point, courage in our conversations. Courage in our conversations. In Acts 4, chapter 18 to 20, so they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We cannot stop telling everything we have seen and heard. Here's what's happening. Peter and John just healed a man who had been crippled from birth. It's been an undeniable miracle. You think everyone would celebrate? But instead, the religious leaders, they were angry. They didn't like the name behind the miracle, Jesus. So they arrested Peter and John. They questioned them. They commanded them never to speak the name of Jesus ever again. Now imagine the pressure that they would have faced in that moment. These were the same religious leaders who crucified Jesus on the cross. And the easy choice would have been, and I'm sure I would have taken the easy route, is to just go home and say, hey, let's not cause any trouble. Let's go home and pray. But Peter and John stood firm, filled with the Holy Spirit, they said in verse 20, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Friends, that's courage. That's not arrogance, not defiance for its own sake, but that's faithful boldness. They weren't defending their reputation. They were declaring a truth too powerful to hide. Their courage came from conviction of their hearts. They had seen the risen Jesus, and when our hearts are convinced of the reality of Christ, silence becomes impossible. In our world today, we may not face imprisonment for speaking about Jesus, but the pressure is real to stay silent about him. We feel it in our conversations every day at work, at school, even in our family. And there's this, almost this hesitation to mention that we are Christians, to stand for truth. Why? Because the reality is we want to fit in. Something that Ruth and I have been going through is as we become parents and we've had conversations with other parents, and there are these moments where parents ask you, oh, are you going to celebrate this? Are you going to go to this? Or do your kids watch this? And let me tell you, it's very awkward in those moments. Because I have to say, you know, as parents, we don't let Aaron watch this. We don't let Aaron attend this. And it's really awkward, trust me, because the conversation just stops after that. It's much easier to fit in and want to be liked. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to let fear dictate my voice for Jesus. And what we've noticed is as we stay courageous in speaking the name of Jesus, what I've started to notice is this. Not people laughing at us or people finding us awkward, but people respecting us. People from the neighborhoods, parents at the park who say to us, hey, we really respect what you have chosen. Hey, that's really hard what you did, but I wish I could do the same. They tell us and ask us, hey, how do you do that? How do you make your kids not watch these shows? We start these conversations. The world, the culture, the enemy is always telling us, as Christians, stay silent, fit in, be cool. But you see, when the Holy Spirit fills us, our fear starts to shrink and our voices become a vessel for God in this generation. Now, I want to say quickly at this point, what I mean by courage in our conversations is not like slamming people or being rude and unthoughtful or foolish and then going around telling people that we've been courageous for Christ. No. I'll give you an example. A couple months ago, I witnessed this firsthand. This elderly couple were trying to share the message of Jesus to a middle-aged man right here, actually, in our courtyard. And this elderly couple said to this man, whatever you say, it doesn't matter. The Bible is the truth, and it's recorded down in history. If you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. Doesn't matter what you say. And as they're saying this, they have this angry face. And the guy sitting there like, just speechless, thinking probably to himself, I can't keep this conversation going. Anyways, this went on for a few minutes. The lady and the husband wouldn't budge, just like shoving the truth of the gospel down this guy's throat. And this guy's like, okay, I got to go now. My wife's calling me. I got to go. And the elderly couple finish off by saying this. Sorry if we offended you, but God loves you. And I observed from a distance. And I was just shaking my head. As I was observing from the back, when the guy left, I heard the elderly couple say to another lady that was present as well, you see, we are being courageous for our faith in Jesus. I sat there, I was so angry. I was like, how is this courage? This is foolishness. This is arrogance. And I later talked to the lady, the small group leader. I was like, this is not correct. This is not right. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, a joy overflows in our hearts, the way we engage, we converse, we listen. The Spirit gives us wisdom and insight and resolutions and creativity into people's lives so that the hearer can listen, but continue to engage and come to church. I never saw this man again. Friends, courage is sharing our convictions, but it doesn't mean that we are prideful or arrogant or rude and unable to listen to others. The key here is this. Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, and patience. And when we exercise those fruits, in our convictions, in our conversations, when we listen in those moments and give people opportunity to speak, we see the gospel go forth. Third lesson and final lesson, courage to continue on. Courage in continuing on. Courage in continuing on. Right after Missions Month, I text a good friend. He's a close spiritual brother of mine, someone I often share about church and faith with. He actually attends our North Campus. I was excited. I was like, hey, bro, this past month, we got all these great speakers, and I'm texting him. I was like, people are responding, and it's so exciting to see. I was like, X, Y, and Z, it has responded to this, and to serve and live boldly, and people have responded. And you know what he did? He sent me back laughing emojis. And I was a bit taken off. I was like, what? What's so funny? I'm not telling a joke. And then he followed up by saying, Ben, check back in a month and see if they're still willing. Now, at first, I thought I was, when I saw this text, I was a bit annoyed. I was telling Riff, I was like, oh, old Christians, like, Lao Jirutu, right? This is their mentality now. Dampening the mood, putting water on the fire. But then the more I reflected on this, the more it hit me. There's a reason why he laughed and said those words. He's right. Many things in the moment, especially in church, it's easy to start strong. It's easy to take the courage to continue. And I've seen that a lot in ministry. People come in guns blazing, 2-3 years max, out they go. What I want to say is this. Courage isn't just about one big moment after a big missions month. It's about the steady faithfulness, taking everyday steps of obedience. It's the courage to keep showing up, even when the excitement fades. When life gets busy, when results don't come our way. If we read Hebrews 11, turn with me there. It's a list of men and women who kept on going when everything around them told them to quit. For example, Abel. He offered his best to God when no one else understood. Noah, he built an ark when there wasn't a cloud in the sky and no chance of rain. Abraham left everything that was familiar, not knowing where he was going, but he trusted God along the way. Moses stood before Pharaoh, then led a stubborn people through a desert. And in Hebrews 11, 35 to 38, it describes that they were tortured, imprisoned, and put to death. But in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, it says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. That's incredible courage, friends, to keep walking and obeying and believing when you can't see how it all turned out. We often think about courage as winning. Winning. But God's kingdom, courage is about enduring. It's about saying, hey, even when I don't see the results, I still believe. Even when it's still hard, I still choose to obey. Maybe right now, for many of us, your life doesn't look like a victory. Maybe you've prayed, you've waited, nothing's changed. Maybe you've tried to reach out to a friend. All these years, nothing's happened. Maybe you've tried to do what's right, be in the right conversation, speak the name of Jesus, but nothing is changing. Maybe you're waiting for that personal breakthrough in your relationship, marriage, in your parenting. The author of Hebrew reminds us, keep going, keep continuing. Even if you can't see the finish line, God is still writing your story. You know, I want to finish off with this quick story. The whole missions month, out of all the stories I've heard, I know there was a lot of inspiring stories, but the one that touched me the most was actually the young girl Jacqueline's testimony. That's the one that touched me the most. Why? She's in junior year in Aragon. She decided to speak the name of Jesus at her school. Personally, her story inspired me so much. It wasn't Joaquin in Iraq. It wasn't Anne from Malawi. It wasn't Boba Bless. It was Jacqueline's. Why? Because I know how hard it is for young people of this generation to step up in the name of Jesus. I get it. Social media pressures, academic pressures, living in the Bay Area, everything is opposed to Christianity. And honestly, as young people, another big challenge that you have is that young people, you care about what others think, right? When we're young, we care about what others. I remember when I was young, I really cared about what others think. But as I get older, I start to care less. I remember when I was young, when I go out, I'll make sure my shirts are nice and clean. But now as I get older, my shirt's got stains. Hazel's pulling on my shirt. All the hemming's gone. I couldn't care less because life perspective deepens and whatnot. And I know young people, it's hard because you want to be cool. You want to fit in. So I can only imagine how difficult it was for Jacqueline in her junior year in Aragon, standing up for faith in an environment where there was so much pushback. When I talked to her, I was deeply impressed by this young lady because she didn't lose hope. She had courage to speak the name of Jesus, walk around the school campus to speak his name, the courage to continue on starting a Christian club, even though there was a lot of pushback. She remained faithful in her school in the present circumstances where God had placed her. That's why I'm not surprised at all that God used her mightily in Taiwan, in Mexico, in overseas mission. Mark my words, this young lady will be greatly used by God in his kingdom. Why? Not because she's been favored by God in certain ways, but she showed courage in the little things, right here in her own backyard at school. Imagine if today all of us live like that, live like Jacqueline in our own context. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine what God will use us for in his kingdom. Today, I believe we need a revival of courage. Today, we don't need positive thinking or super extroverted personalities to do something for God. We just need God to come and revive all of us so that we can start walking out into our identity and God-given purpose with boldness and confidence, knowing that this world belongs to our Father. So as I wrap it up this morning, courage in our circumstances. Reminding us, courage begins in our own pasture, in the ordinary, in the unseen things in our life, in our own backyard. Second, courage in our conversations. Courage in our conversations, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking out faith publicly, using wisdom to speak into people's lives, and not letting fear dictate our voices, but letting the name of Jesus continue forth. And third, courage in continuing on. Courage in continuing on. Reminding us that courage isn't just a one-time act. It's not just a big missions month. It's a lifelong perseverance. It's a quiet, ongoing courage in the everyday things in life, right where God has placed us. You know, this October missions month, I'll get the worship team to come up. As I reflected and as I received feedback about this whole month, honestly, I loved it. I love these guest preachers coming week in, week out with courageous stories. On top of that, I could take a break from preaching. It was great. And many of you have responded. I've heard stories, people responding. But here's the thing. I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor of a local church. I'm not here to put out any burning fires. I know some of you are passionate, some of you are encouraged. I'm not here to dampen any moods. That's not my mission. That's not my goal. Trust me, I'm longing for a church that is going out on missions. I'm longing for a generation of young people, of old, to step out into their God-given identity. But my job as a local church pastor is this, is to teach all of us that courage starts here in our backyard before out there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have called us into mission. And Lord, before we go out there, help us to have courage in the ordinary. Help us to have courage in our conversations with our colleagues, with our co-workers, with our family, with our friends over the dining table. Help us to have courage to continue on. Even though many times we cannot see changes or breakthrough, even though when we share the gospel and we don't see a response, help us to have courage to step into the unknown and know that you are writing our story. And so God, we pray that you revive us today to have a revival of courage to go and fulfill the great commission in which you have called us to. Lord, help us to not let fear dictate our lives, but Lord, implant in us our God-given identity and purpose so that all of us today will live a life full of faith and boldness in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's respond in a time of worship.